Hello neighbours, welcome to Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. I'm Ivan Imke, your host. This is episode 6 of season 2. Mental health has been identified as a significant topic throughout all of our communities and sectors, including in agriculture. Today we talk about some of the struggles behind the idyllic stock photo images of farming. While there is certainly work to be done, there's also a great deal of hope that we can address these challenges.
Canadian farmers are so important to Canada's economy, and we know that they're experiencing stressors as a result of the services that they provide. One of the major occupational stressors that farmers are discussing is this aspect of public scrutiny. So people who are running anti-agriculture campaigns and the stress and the toll that that's taking on farmer mental health. Veterinarians are experiencing mental illness at higher rates than the general population and even other medical occupations. Historically, there's been a taboo or a stigma around mental health. Some research participants said that they didn't talk about their depression because other people would consider them being weak or lazy, looking at it as if it were a character flaw.
Today, we head out of province to visit someone who has helped to carve out the area of farmer mental health support within Canada. She's an associate professor in the Department of Population Medicine and Director of Well-Being Programming for the Ontario Veterinary College at the University of Guelph. We visit her there on a midwinter day just before the pandemic. By the way, a university that has a special parking lot for large animal trailers is my kind of university. Pull up a chair and join us in her office.
My name is Andrea Jones-Bitten, and I am a veterinarian and epidemiologist at the Ontario Veterinary College at the University of Guelph.
Do you remember a time in your life when you decided you'd become a veterinarian and epidemiologist?
I never thought I'd become an epidemiologist.
Nobody ever.
Veterinarian, I think I decided on that in high school. I did a co-op placement through my high school at a small animal clinic. And then actually all through vet school, I thought I would always be a small animal practitioner. And I practiced for just shy of 2 years and wanted to come back to graduate school to continue my education, and spoke with somebody here in population medicine and thought, oh my gosh, I think I want to look at epidemiology. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you grow up on a farm?
I did not grow up on a farm,
but
no.
Still, you were interested in working with animals?
Yeah, no, I'm a city girl, but got to learn about agriculture through the veterinary program and really enjoyed working with farmers. When I came back on faculty here in 2007, I had the pleasure of working and getting to know some farmers through some of the research projects I was involved with, and really developed a love for agriculture and Canadian farmers.
Some people might recognize your name because you're cited a lot because of some studies you've done on mental health and farming. How did that interest develop?
Well, I was coming back from a parental leave and was looking to rebuild my research program, and met with a colleague in agriculture. And she and I were talking about what we might want to study. And then she mentioned a farmer that was struggling with their mental health and that she had been seeing more and more of that lately. And it kind of sparked something in both of us. And I went to the literature to see what do we know about Canadian farmer mental health. Mm-hmm. And there unfortunately wasn't a whole lot published on the topic at that time. And so I wanted to get some baseline statistics around farmer mental health. And so I could use my epidemiology training there, and engaged with some mental health professionals, and we started the national survey on farmer mental health.
How long ago was that? Like what year?
That was September 2015.
So has there since that time been a flurry of activity around this? So are you part of a development of a field?
Yeah, I hope it's a field. Yeah, so we started off with that national survey. We confirmed, unfortunately, that our anecdotal suspicions were accurate and that farmers are struggling with various outcomes, stress, depression, anxiety, burnout. So then we started phase two of our work. So I have a fabulous PhD candidate, Brianna Hagen, who's been working on this, and a team of wonderful stakeholders, farmers, veterinarian, ag industry, ag government, mental health, adult education specialists. And we've started a number of studies now to further engage and do something about the struggles that farmers are experiencing.
When those results started to come in, was there something that surprised you you in particular or maybe didn't surprise you?
Well, unfortunately, I don't think the results around stress, depression, and anxiety were surprising, simply because that's what we had been seeing. I was surprised by a couple of things, and in retrospect, I probably shouldn't have been surprised. Yeah. But one of the major occupational stressors that farmers are discussing is this aspect of public scrutiny. So people who are running anti-agriculture campaigns or anti-whatever commodity campaigns, and the stress and the toll that that's taking on farmer mental health.
There's a lot of interest in food. That changes people's relationship to food and their expectations of how they can impact it.
Yes.
So that is something that farmers are feeling.
Yes, and any farmer I know would love for the public to know more about food and more about the food that they produce. And in fact, many of our agricultural industry organizations do public education campaigns. We all want the public to know about food. Unfortunately, a lot of the anti-agriculture campaigns that are out there are not necessarily based on a whole lot of fact. And so that can be very frustrating. And with social media, the reach is quite big. And many farmers have been personally targeted or have experienced on-farm protests of organized events with busloads of people. And so, yeah, that's very stressful when you've got trespassers on your home and in your home and your family farm, and you've got kids there and your family there. Yeah, that's taking a toll for sure.
In Ontario, they just passed a law that came into effect, I think, last month about trespassing on farms.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that kind of thing is going to assist in any way, or does it just make more court dates and more stress and everything else?
Well, hopefully it will serve as a deterrent for these on-farm protests. And again, I think everybody would say everyone has a right to their opinion and to talk about their opinion. If I had an issue with the way a business was being run, you know, I could make my opinion known. I can't break into the store and remove things from the store without expecting to be charged and to have some penalties associated with that. So I think that Bill 156 was a good move.
Apart from that as well, are there other things about farming that particularly disadvantage people or mean that mental health might be more of an issue than another occupation?
Well, the occupational stressors that farmers experience, they're very wide-ranging. So some have been around since the dawn of time, right? Weather being a huge one. Now we've got changing climate and changing weather, extreme weather events. It's also their business owners and operators, so they would have many of the stresses that other business owners and operators also experience. But there's some additional things, I think, that make the stresses farmers face unique. So one being the public scrutiny that we're observing. Another is this idea of a family legacy. So for many farmers, the farm has been in their family for generations. And that's a lot of pressure to maintain that. People have shared with us they don't want to be the generation that sort of messes this up, this family legacy. So there's a lot of pressure there. I know lots of fabulous young farmers who have multi-millions of dollars of debt. And I think that would be a pretty heavy weight to be going to bed with at night. And the social isolation that comes with farming, oftentimes farmers are working by themselves or with a couple of other people, the long work hours, the labor that's involved, you know, all of this together, I think makes for a pretty stacked pile of stressors. And it's usually not one thing that causes a big struggle. It's usually that combination all being piled on top.
In many parts of Canada, rural communities are under stress in general. I mean, the schools are closing, churches are closing, post offices are closing, banks are disappearing. And since many farmers live in rural areas, is that one of those factors that adds to this, the fact that rural seems to be in trouble?
I would suspect, yes, it does. I mean, even the most introverted people amongst us, we have evolved to be part of a bigger community, right? A social community. That's kind of what we need. And so as some rural towns and communities are declining, I think the opportunities for social interaction decrease, opportunities for volunteering or community events, community sports decrease. And those are really important for our well-being.
Is there a piece of music that I can use underneath? Is there something that you hum as you're working in your office?
Usually something my kids have sung in the morning that I've got stuck in my head.
Face them known, 'cause we figured a new way.
That's Steve Earle with The Rain Came Down by request of my guest, Andrea Jones-Bitten. In this segment, we chat about stress, mental health first aid, and the culture of reticence.
Are there some demographic characteristics that are more likely to result in stress, whether it be the sector you're in, or whether you're supply managed or not?
Yeah, so Brianna Hagen, as part of her thesis research, has done some statistics around that. And largely speaking, there weren't a whole lot of factors that were associated with those outcomes. Supply managed was not statistically significantly associated with that. And again, I think it's because so many of those stressors are universal. There was one commodity that was statistically more likely to have high stress, and that was farmers who were farming pigs. Part of that might relate to, well, issues in the commodity itself, but it might also relate to the timing of the study, which was September 2015 through to February 2016, which was post-outbreak of porcine epidemic diarrhea virus, which was pretty devastating for the industry and the farmers affected by that. So there might be some tie there. We plan to do a follow-up study, okay. So it'll be good to see if there are differences.
Yeah. Are there things about farming and rural living in general that are an advantage then for mental health? Not to dwell on the negative side.
Yeah. So Brianna did 75 interviews with farmers and people who work with farmers. And yeah, there were many positive aspects to farming. For many farmers, producing food, producing good quality food, safe food, it provides a sense of meaning and purpose, which again, all humans require a sense of meaning and a reason for being here. And so that was a big part of it. Describing being on the land, being able to observe their animals, you know, contrary to what some anti-agriculture groups might say, farmers love their animals. And, you know, they're not pets, but it doesn't mean they don't love them. And so some people described a joy of just being able to watch their animals, see them be born, see them grow to be healthy, strong animals. So there's lots of great things there. The rural community itself, it's kind of a catch-22 when everybody knows everybody's business. So there can be some negative aspects of that, but also knowing that if you needed help, the community would be there for you. It was described as a positive as well.
What's some of the ways in which stress are expressed for those who are trying to figure out, is this just a bad year or not?
Well, some people have, like the general population, some people have some very positive coping mechanisms, you know, communication with your family and the people you're working with, who are often the same people, or exercise, you know, trying to get a break. That's very difficult for farmers to do. So there were some positive coping strategies there. Unfortunately, there's also, you know, we're all human. There's also some negative coping strategies. So things can get tense in your relationships. You might be taking your anger out on somebody else, you know, resorting to things like alcohol, for example, or smoking, giving up on sleep, giving up on self-care. So those were how some of the stresses manifested in farmers. We probably aren't ever going to get rid of many of the stressors that farmers experience, but we can help raise resilience in the ag community.
Are there resources, like if somebody's saying, I don't know what to do?
Yeah, I would encourage farmers who think they might be needing help, or if they know somebody who thinks they might be needing help, to definitely reach out. So the Mental Health First Aid Program is a great program to teach people about mental health, how to talk about mental health, how to bridge people to supports. It's a fabulous program designed for the general population. It's a standardized program that's 12 hours in length. Because we had feedback from our ag community around that likely being too long of a program for many farmers to engage with, we've created our own mental health literacy program specific for agriculture, and we're going to be releasing that in partnership with a national organization. And that's a four-hour program that we like to make widely available for people to learn about mental health. In terms of farmer-specific mental health supports, we don't actually have a whole lot. It varies by province. Some provinces, yes. You know, are doing better than others. Quebec, I think, is probably leading the way. Reaching out to family doctors can be a good place to start, who can connect people to other mental health service providers. I understand that can be difficult accessing a family health provider as well. But yeah, those are the good places to start. And then the Do More Baltimore Agriculture mm-hmm. Foundation. They, on their website, have a resources page that I understand is under continual development, and so that would be a good place to get information as well.
We've heard in the news about various occupations, like, I don't know, hockey players or paramedics or whatever, where the culture of the occupation makes it hard for people to come out and say that they've really had difficulty with mental health. Is that somewhat similar with farming? Is there a kind of a reticence?
Yes, I would say definitely. At least historically, there's been a taboo or a stigma around mental health, probably in across the board, but in particular in agriculture. We had some research participants who said that they didn't talk about their depression because other people would consider them being weak or lazy, looking at it as if it were a character flaw. And the historical view is that, you know, farmers need to be tough and stoic and just keep going, keep plowing on. And fortunately, I think that's changing. We have seen some generational differences in our data where the younger generations are much more likely to talk about mental health and to not feel that they're stigmatized as a result of it. And I think even in the older generation, we're starting to see some changes there too. So I think that's positive.
Yeah. If you have a really tight, close community, theoretically, you'd be able to get more support, but it could be that there's also more exclusion.
Yeah, and there is a strong sense that we've kind of been referring to it as looking over the fence, where you're kind of almost living in a goldfish bowl where people are looking in to see, what are you doing? Have you got your crops in? Or, you know, and people are perceiving judgment there. Right. So yeah, it is a bit of a double-edged sword. It can provide great source of comfort and benefit, but also a sense of feeling judged.
The rain came down. Today we're at the University of Guelph speaking with veterinarian, epidemiologist, and researcher Andrea Jones-Bitten about farmer mental health, one of her specialty areas.
Could you say that maybe 50 years ago or more, farm families, the whole household, contributed to the labor?
Yeah.
Now with more and more people who have partners work off the farm or whatever, is it possible we see farming as more of a job now instead of a livelihood?
I still definitely think farming is a lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I guess with any job, if you can't leave your job, it's going to be a lifestyle.
Yeah.
So many of them living on farm, you know, it's always there. But yes, you're absolutely right. Family size, I think, has likely decreased.
Yeah.
And so there's, you know, fewer people on the farm, and we often see one or both partners in a relationship working off farm as well, in addition to a full-time farming gig.
Yeah.
And interestingly, I think that has put additional pressure on female partners.
Yeah.
It would seem more of them are working an off-farm job, plus an on-farm job, plus possibly doing the paperwork and the books for the farm, plus being the head of the household and children. So I think there's some gender differences where we see additional pressures on women. women, but that's not to take away from the pressures that, yeah, that males in the partnership are experiencing as well.
Yeah. Although I've heard some farmers say that traditionally males were socialized in a particular way where they're not supposed to be feeling and they're less likely to seek help.
Yeah, we've heard the same thing, yeah, from our participants. And I think every time a farmer comes forward and shares their story, they normalize the experience. Farming is really stressful, and it makes sense that, you know, that's going to sometimes result in depression or in anxiety or in low well-being in general. And I think the more people that share those stories, the more it's normalized and we take away that stigma. You can still be a very successful farmer, a very successful human, and be experiencing a, yes, mental health issue.
You're at an institution of higher education. The young people who are learning to become farmers, are there things within their curriculum now that would prepare them for some of these challenges?
It's a good question. My understanding is that the students, because they're a younger generation who are much more open to talking about this, that the students have organized events around mental health. We would like to offer in the know training, the mental health literacy training. I think it would be great to incorporate that into agricultural colleges and programs for students. I think they can probably also access mental health literacy resources through their institutions, just generally speaking, not ag specific as well. So I think that's all very positive.
Are there kinds of intervention you think that would be more successful than other kinds, as you understand it?
Yeah, we're very much an evidence-based lab here as well. Yeah. So for some things, it's easier to measure an effect. So for the In the Know program, we did pre-training assessments, immediate post-training assessments, and then a three-month and a six-month follow-up so that we could collect data to say, yes, this training works in terms of improving knowledge, improving attitudes towards mental health, and improving help-seeking behaviors or help-providing behaviors. Yes, we try to base everything very strongly in evidence because farmers are very busy people. And if you waste their time at something, they're unlikely to come back. And I can fully appreciate that. I think it's really important that when we create interventions or when we bring in interventions into the community, that we are doing an assessment of its effectiveness. Yeah.
One of the ways we gauge the importance of an issue is the economic cost, which is too bad that we would look at that only. But do you think that that argument, is that a persuasive one for some people, for policymakers, say, for example?
I would say definitely. Yeah. We don't have data specifically on the economic impacts of mental health struggles in farmers. We have some qualitative data around that from our lab that we're currently analyzing. But we do know, if we extrapolate from other populations, we do know that mental illness is associated with a host of negative consequences. Mm-hmm. Decreased productivity, decreased performance. It can be associated with absenteeism. It can be associated with presenteeism, where we're there, but we're not really. So, you know, if you have a cold and you still come into work anyway, but you're not fully actually engaged in the work, you're kind of not really there. So yeah, presenteeism, you know, getting help on farm is very, very difficult, generally speaking. And we know that mental illness is also associated with high job turnover and low retention. Canada is looking to expand its agricultural exports. And I think if we don't have a sustainable farming population, we're not going to be very effective at that goal. And so I do think it's in the country's best interest that we be investing in farmer mental health and well-being.
You mentioned that you're a veterinarian as well. And, you know, growing up on all creatures great and small.
Yes, right? James Herriot, yes.
Yes, I have this view of veterinarians. I'm working with the animals and they always get better. Are there issues around mental health with veterinarians as well?
Yeah, so that's another research pillar in my lab here. We are working on veterinarian mental health as well. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Jen Pratt is a veterinarian and PhD candidate. With her and other colleagues, we've been working on veterinarian mental health. And again, there are some wonderful benefits to being a veterinarian and working in veterinary practice. There's also a pretty large weight of occupational stressors there as well. And our data have shown that, yeah, veterinarians are experiencing mental illness at higher rates than the general population and even other medical occupations. The Ontario Veterinary College recognizes that this is a big issue. And so we've instituted mental health and well-being training into the veterinary curriculum. So we currently have a programming in year one of the program, as well as another offering of our resilience rotation in for final year veterinary students to help teach resilience skills to better prepare them to deal with some of the occupational stressors.
If you have farmers who are at farmers markets and deal directly with their customers and that sort of relationship that develops, would that that be a kind of an advantage for them in terms of their mental health?
Yeah, I think that's very personal. But yeah, I can recall a couple of participants actually in our research interviews that did direct sales, and there's a benefit there where repeat customers who are talking about how good the product is, you know, there's a sense of pride there, again, strengthening meaning and purpose. Yeah. So if you're somebody who likes to engage with others, then I suspect there's benefits there.
What's something that you would like to do, the next step, without giving any secrets away to competitor researchers or whatever?
I have been saying to anybody who will listen that so strongly believe, and I know many others that I work with believe as well, we need a national center for farmer mental health. Different provinces have different abilities, different programs available. It causes some confusion and some feelings of inequalities across the country. I think Canadian farmers are so important to Canada's economy, and we know that they're experiencing stressors as a result of the services that they provide. And so I really believe a national center would enable all farmers to access needed supports, needed training, conduct research so that we, again, are putting forward evidence-based practices. Having one centralized place, I think, would be really beneficial.
What's some of your favorite local food?
Local to, like, Ontario?
Well, you know, it's so hard to define
local. Oh, it is so hard to define
local. Based on your
own
definition of local.
All right, let me think here. So nothing, in my opinion, beats an Ontario peach. Oh, where the juice runs down to your elbow. I think that's pretty fantastic. Gosh, I love all of our fruit that we grow here, actually. There's some fabulous Canadian cheese. We've got great potatoes. I mean, Canadian beef as well. Canadian lamb. I don't have a favorite. It's all good.
Thanks so much for taking the time.
Oh, my pleasure. And it was great to chat with you.
Looking forward to reading more.
If you want to get in touch with Do More Ag, the national organization that has resources on farmer mental health, go to www.domore.ag. Our guest today, Dr. Andrea Jones-Bitten, has also put out a resource on well-being during COVID-19. It's available for free on the web. You'll find it useful whether or not you're a farmer. By the way, Andrea lived in Newfoundland and Labrador for a couple of years and worked at Memorial University in community health. Alas, Guelph's win was our loss. So it goes.
I think every time a farmer comes forward and shares their story, they normalize the experience. For many farmers, the farm has been in their family for generations, and people have shared with us they don't want to be the generation that messes this up, this family legacy. Can still be a very successful farmer, a very successful human, and be experiencing a mental health issue. We try to base everything very strongly in evidence because farmers are very busy people, and if you waste their time at something, they're unlikely to come back. For many farmers, producing good quality food, safe food, it provides a sense of meaning and purpose, which, again, all humans require.
This has been Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. To listen to other episodes of this show or for more information, go to fittoeatnl.ca. The song for today's show was The Rain Came Down by Steve Earle. The theme music, Cluck Old Hen, was performed this week by Ricky Skaggs and Bruce Hornsby. This is a production of Kitchen Table Communications. I'm Ivan Emke. Join me again next time. I'll be right here. Remember, talk more, ask more, listen more. Happy trails.
I never thought I'd become an epidemiologist.
Nobody.